Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Well. He will utter dark sayings and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
With your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahweh.
Live Yahweh's radio, top part of the Sabbath day. Worldwide international radio broadcast, Yahweh's radio, top part of the Sabbath day. Live, top part of Saturday. I'll be your host for the top part of Saturday. My name, your Seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. I have made for me and you, and remember what Yahweh said plainly, follow me. Nobody said follow him. So the example that he set to follow him, we have to do his example. And we won't think that we're going to get anywhere close to eternal life and into the kingdom that's on earth. We want to follow him. And he leaves us example of what we have to do to follow him. All right. So it's a live broadcast. Got the memos in camp. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all ready to go. No, well, thanks. Get in where you fit in. That's top part of the seventh day to see the Almighty I made. This is a day for me and you. So on the international side, it's packed jam. Over 900,000 ready to hear the word of Yahweh, but on the side where brothers who come in to participate ain't properly came in yet. So what we do, we just stall for a minute and see what we can get going on.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
Mm-hmm.
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? what are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay. And what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination, and one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath. And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination, mm-hmm. and one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observed Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails, I don't respond to work calls, I don't read
from Friday night.
Friday night sundown.
Sundown.
To Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No.
That's like against the commandment of Hollywood that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's a good thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Up front.
Up front.
Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
I love this,
before we even take the job or go down the road.
Yeah.
Here's the commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it
is
the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13, 14, that I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see Hollywood as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
like literally for your first job, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what happened was
weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It wasn't intentional.
Like it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional, but I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to literally, it feels like he's speaking to me, you know, because everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know how you just go in and it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, tell her about the Sabbath. And I'm like, no, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
After
I get what I want.
I'll tell her.
Right. Yeah. But he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right. Well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown because I observe the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am, it will open doors, not shut them. Also,
that's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
We're also thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens, then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God has opened for you will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay. And what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observed Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails, I don't respond to work calls, I don't read
from Friday night.
Friday night sundown.
Sundown.
To Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No.
That's like against the commandment of Hollywood, that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the good thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
I love this,
Devon. Before we
even
take the job or go down the road.
Yeah.
Here's the commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it.
Yes.
Is the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13, 14, that I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see, Hollywood, as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
like literally for your first job. I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
For your first job. Working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what happened was it was.
Weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It wasn't intentional.
Like it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional, but I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to literally, it feels like he's speaking to me. You know, because everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know how you just go in and you land, hey, it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, tell her about the Sabbath. And I'm like, no, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
After I
get what I want.
I'll tell them.
Right. Yeah. But he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right, well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown because I observed the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am, it will open doors, not shut them. Also,
that's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
Thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens, then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God has opened for you will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay. And what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observed Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails. I don't respond to work calls. I don't read
from
any scripts.
Friday night sundown.
To Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No. That's
like against the commandment of Hollywood that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the good thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
I love this,
Devon. Before we even take the job or go down the road.
Yeah.
Here's the commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it.
Yes.
Is the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13, 14, Dad, I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see, Hollywood, as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
like literally for your first job, I mean, sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what happened was it
wasn't. Weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It wasn't intentional.
Like it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional, but I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to, literally, it feels like he's speaking to me, you know, because everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know how you just go in and you land, hey, it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, tell her about the Sabbath. And I'm like, no, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
After I
get what I want.
I'll tell her.
Right.
Yeah.
But he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right, well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown or Saturday night sundown because I observe the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am, it will open doors, not shut them. Also,
that's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
We're also thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens, then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God has opened for you will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay. And what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observed Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails. I don't respond to work calls. I don't read
from Friday night.
Friday night sundown.
Sundown.
To Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No.
That's like against the commandment of Hollywood that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the good thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
I love this,
Devon. Before we even take the job or go down the road.
Yeah.
Here's the commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it.
Yes.
Is the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13, 14, Dad, I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see, Hollywood, as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
like literally for your first job, let me ask, sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what happened was it was.
Weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It didn't. It wasn't intentional.
Like it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional. But I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to literally. It feels like He's speaking to me. You know, because everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know, how you just go in and you land. Hey, it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, "Tell her about the Sabbath." And I'm like. No, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
After I get the
job, I get what I want.
I'll tell them.
Right.
Yeah.
But he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right. Well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown because I observe the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am, it will open doors, not shut them. Also.
That's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
But also thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens, then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God has opened for you will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
All right, this is Top Power of the Sabbath Day. We are live. But like I say, in Matthew, what, at chapter 9, verse 38, 39, harvest is plenty, but the labor is fruit. What we're going to do, we're going to put on that previous tape until those, you know, all the six anointed camps come on the broadcast. And, you know, after you get some count that long money they are made, then once they get all that situated, then what we'll do, we'll come back live so we can put a tape on Top Part of 7 days. And once on the right side is packed jam, get ready to hear some Just As Yahweh. And we're ready to do our part in Just As Yahweh. But so happened, we had a long day today and teaching the seniors. And what we're going to do is we'll try to hold our voice down a little bit and put a tape on to continue talking. Put a tape on. Then we'll come back later with the live broadcast from Top Part of Saturday. This day the Almighty I made for me and you. And like I said again, you want Yahweh to intervene in your life. You want to observe these Saturdays the way he did it by following his example. But we so comfortable in the world thing that we pray Yahweh no never mind in the Saturday. They're important. You keep that Saturday, sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. They're important. And that's why it's so important to support this ministry. Because once we all said and done, we'll be ready to go. So we see Mother came on stage. Now, I guess we don't have to put on tape. We can find Mother. And Mother D.F. Israel said, okay, sir, I'm here to do my part. And see, I like that spirit right there. So, we'll bring Mother in then. And then by the time Mother get all warmed up on Top Part of Saturday, then maybe the OL will come in and we'll take out the broadcast and all the good stuff. So what we do, we just chop them around there, Mother. We just do our part and just say, Yahweh, but that's meet and greet by saying, Mother D.F. Israel. One of the mothers out of Camp 1, Yahweh, B.J.F.C. Israel.
Yahweh, bless you,
C.F.
Israel.
Hallelujah, Father. Mother. You know, I'm very happy to know that old Mother stepped in place. Well, you know, one thing about this, you know, the seer's job is to let you know that we're not doing this for us. We're doing this to let you know we want all of Matthew 25, 21 so we can get our hands on. That's why we do this thing. Because whatever Yahweh got written in his book, it's going to come to pass. And he's going to ask those seer one thing. Hey, seer, when you was on the clock, did you do the best you can? I ain't going to watch you anyway. I give it all I got. A couple times you kind of was discouraged. Well, no. Was I? Yes. No. So I'm telling you, don't let them weigh you down. Do your Yahweh all the way to death. And then Yahweh got the reward for you. That's the way I see it, mother. So the thing, I'm giving all this guidance. And I'm very happy to see that you're ready to do your part as just as Yahweh. And remember one thing. Your labor's not going to be in vain. Keep that in mind. So, mother, let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse 12. And we'll see which way we'll take the top part of Saturday, mother. Take your time. We're just going to take our time until the rest of the cavalry come on and assist in the top part of the Saturday. So, mother, what it says in Luke 12, kind of hard that microphone. Let's see how Yahweh wants to want us to deal with the top part of the Saturday. Remember, all the captains ready to go. From South Carolina, 6. Maryland, 5. 3. Kankakee, 2. Springfield, 1. Chicago. It's up to you. We're telling you that all the locations is open. Wherever you're close to, within 70 miles, get in where you've been in it. Follow the example of Yahweh. Okay, keep that in your mind. Our job is to tell you. It's up to you to do it. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Take your time, mother, and hit that verse in grand style. Come on.
Luke chapter 12, verse 12. For the righteous spirit shall keep in the same hour what you ought to say.
Excellent, mother. The righteous spirit in that very same hour will teach us, mother. And that's a great thing. So now, let's precept that, mother. And what we're getting ready to bring to the table on top of the Saturday, hey, mother, according to Romans chapter 15, verse 4, let's start with you, Romans 15, verse 4, there, mother. 15, verse 4. What does that say, mother?
Okay. Just going to get that. Romans 15, verse 4, Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we have patience and comfort and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
So mother, what we getting ready to read on the top part of Saturday, everything we're getting ready to read is not done away with. It's for our learning. If we gonna get into this kingdom, everything we're getting ready to read, mother, let's get a precept on that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, Paul talking to the northern kingdom that's scattered up in Europe. So in 10 verse 11, mother, what did he say in 1 Corinthians 10 verse number 11? Take your time there, mother. We got a lot of time. We're just going to do the best we can. We're going to make sure we do our part and just as Yahweh. So, mother, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, take your time and do your part and just as Yahweh. Come on.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now, all these things happen unto them for an example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
Mm-hmm. So everything, mother, we're getting ready to talk about is for our admonition. It's not gone away with. And so when we read, mother, so when we do read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, mother. So, mother, she speaking of the nation of Israel was taught by the Father. The Father taught him. That's what we taught him, the Father. You can read that. We're not going to read that. In Matthew chapter 16, 13, 9, and verse 18, the Father is the one taught Peter. Told the Son, get out the way. I want Peter one-on-one myself. So Peter is very important to understand. Matter of fact, before you read that, mother, let me show you the power. When the Father got through with Peter, let me show you the power Peter had. Put a marker there, mother. I just want to show you the power Peter had in the book of Acts. We're going to show you this man, this Peter, this was, he's worth listening to because he has some good stuff working with him, mother. In Acts chapter 5, the chief speaker of the nation of Israel, he had some things working with him, mother. And we want to bring it out and come back there. In Acts chapter 5, he had something going for him, mother. So now let's see what he had going for himself that we can read. In Acts chapter 5, verse 15. Let's talk about Peter in Acts chapter 5, verse 15, mother, D.F. Israel. What about Peter? 5:15.
Acts chapter 5, verse 15. And so much that they brought forth the sick into the street and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them.
So Peter had so much power in the Father that if you was in the right place at the right time, if you had any ailment in your body, read verse 16.
Verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the city round about unto Judah, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed, unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one.
Ain't that something? You hear that, mother? So Peter had the power to, if you just got into his shadow, but you have to be in a place, mother, that especially on days that was ordained to be at a certain place in 5:14 of St. John. It's a place, mother, that this was going on at according to 5:14. What place was all this stuff going on at, mother? St. John 5:14.
St. John. St. John chapter 5, verse 14, reads, afterwards, Yahweh the Son signed to him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst of things come up unto you.
So all this stuff was going on around the temple, mother. So all this is going on, Peter received the gift from the Father. So when Peter was heading to the temple site, somebody had to already be there in advance, mother, in Luke chapter 1. He had to be doing some things, mother. That's how the Spirit operates, mother. See, you know, soon later, we probably in 6 morning camp will get the Spirit that the seer had and put on them that we all can do this thing on a massive scale. And that's my joy. I want to say those that we tried to teach, they caught on to the precepts and they was precepting that Bible, just not reading about the scripture. So now, but before before Peter got there, mother, let's see who had to be there in Luke chapter 1. Somebody had to be there, mother, in Luke chapter 1 in advance. Let's see what's going on in verse number 8. Luke chapter 1, verse number 8. Hey, mother, somebody had to be there as Yahweh was on his way there, mother. Somebody had to already be there. Had to be there. Let's find out who had to be there already. And Luke chapter 1, verse number 8 and verse 9.
Luke chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before Yahweh in the order of his course. Verse 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of Yahweh.
Yeah. Why so in verse 10? So his lot was to burn incense. His lot was to turn on a light, get everything prepared for what in verse 10?
Verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense.
So the people, the people was already outside of the temple before it got dark, mother. They was outside praying and getting ready for that Sabbath day. So they were there too. So the people was already outside, and then here come the seer. He came, he showed up and started lighting everything up for them, and the people, they came in. So that's big business. So we found out that the people was ready to go, and they came in on the top part of the Sabbath day. They was outside, but once he got in there and turned the lights on, then the peoples came, mother. So the peoples came when they seen the light turn on. That's a great thing. Oh, we see Phoebe is coming, Princess coming on the broadcast, so can we bring her in and help assist in the nice top part of the Sabbath day? If you can bring in Princess Phoebe Israel by saying, Sister Abel, Phoebe, Princess Israel, Yahweh bless you, Seer.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, Seer of Israel, Seer Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, all right. So now, mother, you was holding something, mother. So now we found out you was holding something way back there, mother. And we got a little precept and all. What was you holding there, mother?
Let me get back to you. I was holding Peter.
Huh?
I was holding First Peter.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Esma, give me that First Peter. Because one thing about it, if you want Yahweh to intervene, we going to have to make sure we reflect this Bible. So now, in First Peter there, mother. But before you read that First Peter chapter 2, 21, 22, let's kind of set the table up before we get there. Sister A.B. or Phoebe, Princess, let's see, can we see what's going on that we can read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 out of verse 20. Let's set the stage up. Come back with you a minute, mother. But let's lay it out, spirit led, and see what's going on in Matthew chapter 4. Verse 17 on to verse 20. What is that? All right, Prince. What's that, Prince of Israel?
Matthew's chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Yahweh the Son began to teach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Stay on down to verse 20. Keep going to 20.
Verse 20.
No, 18. 18, 19, and 20. From 17, 18, 19, and 20.
Okay, verse 18. And Yahuwah the Son walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Verse 19, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him.
Mm-hmm. And they straightway left their nets. I mean, their great occupation they had, they straight and left it and followed him. They had to think about it or go and check. Look, when you hear that word, it's time for you to make a judgment according to this word. Let's give a precept on that, Princess. Let's look at Matthew 16, 24 down to verse 26. We'll get a precept on that. We're going to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 down to verse 26. Can you say that, Francis?
Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to 26. Verse 24. Then said Yahuwah the Son unto the disciples, his followers, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 26.
Go ahead.
Verse 26. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
So he said, listen here. So that word cross means take off his words, his covenant, and follow him. So we got to follow his examples on what he did. And once we follow his examples, that's what he means. To take up my example. Otherwise, watch what I do. Then you disciples that I'm teaching, you do the same thing. So why would you gain the whole world and get thrown into the fire? Get a precept on that, Francis. Let's go to St. John chapter 6. We're going to get a precept on that. So in St. John chapter 6, 24, down to verse 26 and 33. Get a precept on that. You can listen. We is so busy about this world. This world is going to come to naught. Take up the word that's written in his Bible and follow him. St. John 6, pick up verse 24 down to verse 26 and just tie it all in verse 33. Come on up. Preston?
John chapter 6. Verse 24 to 26 and verse 33. Verse 24. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from the death unto life. Verse 25. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is come, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Yahuwah, and they that hear shall live. Verse 26, for as the Father have life in himself, so have he given to the Son to have life in himself. Verse 33, he sent unto John, and he bared witness unto the truth.
Mm-hmm. Is you reading Matthew? Is you reading Matthew 16?
No, you said John.
Okay, well, that was great. That was great. But sometimes
okay.
You can, that was great. But in the same token, let people get Matthew's 6:24-26 and 33.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 26 and 33. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for neither he will hate the one, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh and Mammon. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, and neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and your righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
So he said, in that 33, he said, teach ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness.
Yes.
And his righteousness will be added unto thee. So that's what we're looking for. We're going to look at his example and his righteousness. And matter of fact, what is his righteousness anyway in 6:25 of Deuteronomy? So what was he pulling that verse from? The key to it is about his righteousness. And Deuteronomy 6:25, they talk about his righteousness. Come on.
Deuteronomy. Chapter 6, verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness if you observe to do all these commandments before Yahweh, our Yahweh, as he have commanded us.
So when you're doing his righteousness, that means you keep the laws, statutes, and commandments. That's when you're doing his thing. So that's when you take note of you when you're doing his thing. Now, come on back, Mother. Let's find out about his thing now. We're going to find out about his thing now in 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, remember, Peter was raised from the womb in a book called Matthew 16, 13 down to verse 18. We're not reading it. And the father told his son, get out the way. I got him. I'm going to save this guy out. And he found this guy had so much power that once you was at the triple thing, and if he comes past you and his garment and you get caught up into his shadow, you became healed. And that guy had power. So this guy is worth listening to whatever he got to say. We need to listen to this guy real carefully. Let's read about what he's saying, Mother. What he's saying that we can read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. Let's talk about the chief speaker of the nation of Israel. What is he saying, Mother? Come on.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 22.
Yeah, what is he saying?
For even hereunto, hear you, called, because Yahweh the Son also suffered us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was thou found in his mouth.
That's big talk there, Mother. So we know in Galatians chapter 1, 15 and 16, Paul talked about that he was raised from the womb to deliver this statement right here in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Paul was raised from the womb, according to Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. He was raised from the womb to deliver 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Now, what do you say in 11, verse 1? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1.
1 Corinthians 11, 1. Do you follow us of me, even as I also am of Yahuwah the Son?
So he says now, so Paul said, follow him. Okay, what example do you lead, Paul, in the 17th chapter 1 and 2 and 18 verse 4 of Acts? What example did you lead, Brother Paul? He said, I was raised from the womb according to Galatians chapter 1, 15 and 16. Okay, good. What example did you leave, Paul, for us to read on what you did? Let's find out. Hey, mother, let's find out what Paul did in the 17th chapter, verse 1, 2, then go to 18, verse 4 of the same book of Acts. Let's see when he followed his steps. What did he do? Come on, then we can read.
Acts 17, 1 and 2. And then
yeah,
about
18, 4.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Acts chapter 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis, well, I think they were in here, and Apollos, they came to Thessalonica, where was a temple of Judah. Verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and three Sabbath days reason with them out of the scriptures.
That's good. So Paul went. So Paul kept the Sabbath day, three Sabbath days. So maybe on that off Sabbath day, he must have done something by sitting on Godly Bay. Let's see what he did on that off Sabbath day. He kept three out of four. Let's see what he did on that off Sabbath day, because he said he reasoned with them. And what's that off Sabbath day? What did he do, Mother, in 18, verse 4?
Acts chapter 18, verse 4. And he reasoned in the temple every Sabbath and persuaded Judah and the Greeks, Israel.
Mm-hmm. So we find out that Paul, his manner was to make sure wherever he was at is get the Sabbath day out of the way. He was raised from the womb to tell those, listen, whatever that I'm on, I got to get the Sabbath day out of the way. Let's get a precept on that, Mother, in 24th chapter of Acts. Let's see what Paul believes. So we gotta follow the ones in his book on what they believe. They the one that's the roadmap for the salvation to come. So in the book of Acts 24:14, Mother, let's see, can we tie Paul in? We know Paul is an Israelite. We're clear about that, he is an Israelite. So in the book of Acts 24, verse 14, Mother, let's talk about Paul, that his manner was to keep the Sabbath day. Now, what was on Paul? Where would he get this from? 24, verse 14, the book of Acts. Let's talk about it, Mother. Come on.
Acts chapter 24, verse 14. But this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I, Yahuwah, my Father, believing all things which are written and the law and in the seers.
Yeah. Paul pulled a verse. He said, I believe everything is written that's on in the law, statutes and commandments, and what's written in the seals. He said, I believe it all. So what is written back there that he pulled up in Leviticus 23, 1, 2, and 3? Where is he pulling that from? So he has to show what he believed. What did he believe in Leviticus 23, 1, 2, and 3, Mother?
Leviticus 23, Leviticus 23, verse 1 to 3 reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be a righteous gathering, even these are my feasts. Verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and righteous gathering. You shall do no servile work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwelling.
According to verse 3, Mother, what's the Sabbath day all about again, Mother? According to verse 3? Read verse 3 with a little more audio.
Leviticus 23, 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and righteous gathering. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings.
So the Sabbath day is not to air out anything on your mind on the Sabbath day. You got to find one of them work days to air out anything on your mind. On that Sabbath day, that sundown Friday, sundown Saturday, the gathering got to be what kind of way, Mother, according to verse 3?
A righteous gathering.
A righteous gathering. That's what the Sabbath day is all about. See, when you got something that's on your mind on Sabbath day, then you have polluted your Sabbath day. And if anybody hear anything you got to say, they have polluted their Sabbath day. That's what happened. So one thing about it, you got to be clear, Sabbath day, whatever it is. You know, I remember Brother telling me one time, he said, Brother, I got into my better half, and I had down for the countdown. I was putting a chokehold on him, and I looked out there and seen the sun had set. Oh, I had to stop. I said, baby, I got to stop choking you right now and beating you up real good. Remind me how I was delivering you up after the Sabbath day. You get the Sabbath day out the way. Then remind me how I was just wearing you out on the Sabbath day. But let me get my Sabbath day out the way. Well, I'll make sure I stay in the right spirit with Yahweh. But once the Sabbath day over with now, then we'll get back to going beside your head. See that? Because one thing about it, we got to make sure one thing. That Sabbath day, you get whatever on your mind, put it aside and take care of Yahweh's business. Whatever on your mind. Now, give me 24 verse 1 and 8. So Paul pulled it in 24, Mother, 1 and verse 8. Leviticus 24, verse 1 and verse 8. Who this Sabbath day is aimed to make sure they understand it? And it's 24th chapter, Mother, we of Israel.
Yes.
1 and verse 8.
Leviticus 24, verses 1 and verse 8. Verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, I can't get my face. Verse 8. Every Sabbath you shall set it in order before Yahweh continuously being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant.
So every Sabbath, you sit in order. Now we're going to find out Princess Israel. Let's find out this man that we found out that says Peter told him to be a follower of him. So what did he do, a princess in Luke 4, 16 and 17? What did he do? And we have to follow his example. So, princess, what did he do for us to have to the people in Luke chapter 4, 16 and 17?
Luke chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16. And it came, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue, the temple, on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. Verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the seer Elijah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written.
So, remember we read over there in that book called, Mother read in the book of Luke, chapter 8 through 10. The seer has to get there and turn them lights on, get everything going, and people was already outside. They was ready to go. So we're going to come back and find out who also came at Luke 21 there, princess. Let's look at Luke 21 and let's find out something he did. Then we said follow him, right? We're going to find out. Remember, the seer got there according to Luke 1, 8 through 10 to turn the lights on because somebody was coming and Luke 21, verse 37 and then 38. And we're going to see how long was he there. He was coming, but the seers had to get there in advance to get things prepared, get the doors open, the lights on. Then here comes somebody, and let's see what he's coming to. Luke 21, 37, 38. What did it say there, Prince?
Luke chapter, you said chapter 31 or 21?
Make it 21. Okay. Make it 21.
Luke 21, verse 37 and 38. Verse 37. And in the day time he was teaching in the temple, and at the night he went out, and abode in the mount that was called the Mount of Olives. Verse 38. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him.
Mm-hmm. So when the seer turned him, got there, he turned the lights on, and in the day, that means the night part of the Sabbath day, like it's around now, that's when Yahweh entered into the temple. He entered into the temple at nighttime. That's why Zechariah was there to turn the lights on. And guess what he did? What does he do in verse 37 again? Now, he got there in the day part, and once the sun got set, and Zechariah turned on the light, and the people came in. And how long was Yahweh the Son there in 21:37? Three again, a little more audio.
Luke chapter 21, verse 37. And in the day time he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives.
That means that Yahweh the Son, he came there when the sun was setting in for the Sabbath day, and he didn't leave until after the sun went out again. That's when he left. So that's why we got a big job ahead of us. You know, that Sabbath day is supposed to be kept. When the sun set, that's the beginning of the Sabbath day. Remember we said, you got to follow Yahweh's example. So we got to follow his example in time to come. We got to understand his thing. We got to follow Yahweh's steps. He was getting to the temple as the song was setting in. The seer was getting there a little before he was there. The people was already there. They were waiting on Zechariah to come turn the lights on. Then when the song got there, He came in that temple and started teaching. And guess what? He didn't leave that place, that temple, until the Psalms said again. So that's what leadership got to understand. The Sabbath day is sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. You got to lead by example. That's why Yahweh gonna bless this ministry. Come up with a plate that is so large that when the teacher, because the Sabbath day will be ran from the time the sun set until the time the sun set again. That's how long, that's why we come on this airways and taking our time to teach. Because Yahweh gonna bless this ministry to have teachers in place. Once the doors open up on a Sabbath day, people can come in all types of time. There got to be a teacher in place to go all around the clock. And remember what Mother read in 1 Peter chapter 2, 21, we got to follow his example. We got to follow Paul's example. These examples we got. Paul said he believed everything is written. So leadership got to understand one thing. That's why I'm going to bless this ministry. Well, the fact of the matter is, it will be a place large enough for those that's going to be teaching to have a resting quarter and be prepared for those that come in all the way around the clock. So our job is to teach you prepared to know how to precept the Bible, be prepared, because it's going to happen. How we know it's going to happen? Read Ephesians 4:17 of the book of Romans. How we know it's going to happen? 4:17 of the book of Romans.
Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, before him whom he have believed, even Yahweh, who quickened the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. Hallelujah.
So you got to call these things in advance through the scripture. See, we call it in advance because once you follow the scripture, once you call it, though it's not, as though it are. We can tell you right now, the temple is around the corner. Our job is to teach us prepared to once the doors open up, a teacher got to start that class. Then it got to be a teacher come out of one of the quarters, tap on the shoulder and say, I got it. You're going to use some rest. I got it. You're going to use some rest. That's how it's going to happen. You call them in advance. When it comes to pass, you say it was told by those seers. Because the Yahweh led by example by showing you what now. What is now? Maybe he might have taught the whole, because he ain't had no city unless you want to. Maybe he might have done it. I don't know. But we know one thing: he did not leave the temple until the sun set. We just got to. Let's read again, A.B.F. Peter. Let's read what the song said that he did in Luke 21:37. Let's read what he said he did. Now Luke is reporting on what the song do. When he come down to the Sabbath day. Luke 21:37 again, A, B, or Phoebe, bring it.
Luke chapter 21, verse 37. Luke 21, verse 37. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out, and abhorred in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives.
So you see, so if we're going to follow his example, that means we got to follow his example. If you want to bless him, he led by example. He's nothing that, and Paul led by example. So we clear exactly what got to be done. Teachers will have to step up in place, and once that second temple is ready to go, you got to have teachers open up and start teaching. Then somewhere out of sleeping quarters, a teacher got to come and tap him on the shoulder and say, I got it. Because the door is supposed to be open, the gate's supposed to be open all the way until the sunset, and that's when you leave out. So when you call it according to the Bible, it's going to be now. All you got to do is look at the scriptures, and we give it to you exactly what's got to happen. So we understand that. And what was Yahuwah doing to talk about a little bit more there, Abel? We're going to Matthew 4:23. What was Yahuwah doing? Let's see, what was he doing in Matthew 4:23?
Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Verse 23. And Yahuwah the Son went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, their temples, and teaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people.
Ain't that something? So you see what you're doing? He was healing them. And he was healing them. So then he passed it on in the fifth chapter of Matthew, there, Princess, chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. So he passed it. He went all through the temple, healing with all manner of sickness. Whatever sickness that was had, he was healing them. Okay, good. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10 and see who we pass the power on to in verse 5 and 6. Well, say that, Princess, Matthew 10, 5 and 6.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5. These 12 Yahuwah the Son sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the any city of the Samaritan. Enter you not. Verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house or the family of Israel.
And next verse, and do what? And do what next verse?
Verse 7. And as you go, teach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
So that's what you're talking about. You're talking about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hey, mother. And what that kingdom at, mother? And Deuteronomy chapter 11:21. Now, where is that kingdom of heaven is at, mother? You let them know to teach about the kingdom of heaven is at hand and where that kingdom of heaven is at when we start teaching about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Deuteronomy 11:21, mother, where is it at?
Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which Yahuwah swore unto your father to give them as the days of heaven upon earth.
So where is the children of Israel's kingdom going to be at? Where is their kingdom of heaven going to be at if they do right?
On earth.
You see that? Now you got those with the Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. See, Christianity is the worstest piece of drug because all the rest of the religion came out of Christianity anyway. That's a morphine drip. We got our parents going past the stars, moon, the sky, eating at a funeral. But we find out the kingdom you want to get to will be where, mother?
On earth.
On earth. That's if you follow what's written in this Bible. So now, get a precept on that, mother, in the 12th chapter. Let's get a precept on that because Paul had to talk about that. Paul had to talk about this kingdom that, you know, he has some scriptures to back it up, Mother. So Paul talked about this thing, Mother. And let's see what he was talking about it at when we look at verse 19, 12, 19 of Hebrews. Let's talk about it, Mother. Let's see if we get some out of this for here, some understanding that you're going to have plenty to teach around the clock. We're going to have plenty to teach. God's job is to keep you prepared and understand one thing. You got to understand this Bible. You got to know how to precept your Bible. You got to make it plain. You got to make it plain. Go 7 days before the goal when the sun sets all the way around. So people come in all through the days, all through the night. I teach you got to be prepared to go. So once you put it out there with the mouth, you got to take it from there. That's all you want to do. Put it out with the mouth. Make a confession with the mouth, and it's going to be. Now, Hebrews 12, pick up verse 19. I was reading a little bit.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 19. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Verse 20, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. 21, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. 22. But you are come unto Mount Sinai. Mount? Is this Mount Judah? I don't know.
That's Judah. That's Judah, what they asked us all. Same thing. S or Z.
Okay.
The word Zion. You might be in the S.
Yeah.
You might be in the Z. But we know in 2 Corinthians 2:11, we're not ignorant of Satan's advice. He might use the S,
okay.
He might use the Z, but we know clearly he's talking about the people in the land of Judah. So, you
okay.
Read it again, take it from the top again, that mother for the national origin sake. Back in 22, take 22 again.
Hebrews 12:22, but you are come unto Mount Judah and unto the city of the living Yahweh, the heavenly Judah, and to an innumerable company of angels.
Ain't that something? Hey, Robert, you just pulled a bombshell out for the national audience. So this heavenly place going to be, if you just told you where it's going to be at, this heaven on earth, we just found where it's going to be at, Mother. Where it's going to be at according to what you just got to read in verse number 22. Let's find out which place at, Mother.
Right here on earth. And
verse 22 again. Yeah, read it. Verse 22.
But you are come unto Mount Judah and unto the city of the living Yahweh, the heavenly Judah, and to...
Now you see that, Mother? Now look at it. You got... Christians be teaching about leaving here. See, they teach about leaving here, Mother. And we letting you clearly know that the temple, when Yahweh come back, and it's already there, but it's in another dimension right now, because you just read that the angel is already there. See, it's already there, Mother. So it's just in another dimension. We don't see it because we're going to run out of time and not make it, and we're going to be off into Christianity, Islam, and the five-point star thing, and we're going to think one thing and it's totally different. So now, but all this is prepared for who, Mother, in the next verse? Now, who is this prepared for first, Mother, in the next verse?
Verse 23. To the general temple and congregation of Israel, the firstborn, which are written in heaven.
Hey, Mother, you deliver that with no zeal at all, and that's big business you just got to read. You mean all this right here is prepared for who, Mother, in verse 23? Now, you just delivered a knockout blow for the national audience, and I don't see Christianity in there or Judaism or Islam in there at all. Now, you just delivered a knockout blow that has to be taught, that's written in the Bible, and Paul is addressing, matter of fact, Prince, when Paul was making his statement, according to Acts 13, hold that point, correct, Acts 13 now, Prince. Let's see who was that. Well, Paul's doing some very big tall talking now. He's doing some very big tall talking now. So now, let's find out what's going on there in Acts 13. We're going to find out some things on the way to find some things. Let's see what's going on in verse number 13, 26, and 27 there, Francis. Acts 13, 26, and 27. Let's see when he ties in. Come on.
Acts chapter 13, verse 26 and 27. Verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth Yahweh, to you is the word of this salvation sent. 27. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the seers, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in the condemning him.
So we find out this again in verse 27. They that dwell at Judah, 17,
yes,
and their rule, because they knew it not.
Mm-hmm.
That the voice of the spirit is read when every Sabbath day.
Every Sabbath day.
Always a spirit ready to tell you something every Sabbath day. You're always going to hear a fear in every walk of life until the turn of Yahweh the Son wins every Sabbath. And what part of it? Top part of the Sabbath day, the middle part of the Sabbath day, and the end of the Sabbath day. So you got to be ready to go, according to Scripture. And what happened next in verse 42 out of verse 44? 42 to 44.
Acts chapter 13, verse 42 to 44.
Yeah, hold that point for a minute. Hold that point.
Okay.
Hey, mother, D.F. Israel, I'm giving you a chance to find your book of Enoch, second book of Enoch 55, 1, 2, and 3. You don't stall until you've got past. Second book of Enoch 55, 1, 2, and 3, because Enoch will report on this thing. See, understand one thing. Enoch will... Way back, he's the seventh from Adam. He even told you about where the kingdom is to be in. But right now, that morphine drip of Christianity got your little one thinking as a rapture, you're going to be raptured. Yeah, you'll be raptured. That means your rapture, you're going to be taken. But your rapture, you're going to be taken, you're going to the fire. See? Told him about that. Yeah, you'll be raptured away. You're not keeping laws, statutes, and commandments the way we're reading it right now. You will be raptured away. You will be taken away. But where? To the side. 42 down to verse 44. Come on there. Come on there.
Acts chapter 13, verse 42 to 44. Verse 42. And when Yahdah Judah were gone out of the synagogue, the temple, the Gentiles besought that these words might be taught to them the next Sabbath. Verse 43. Now when the synagogue was broken up, many of the Yahdah Jews and the religious prophets followed Paul and... Okay, proselytes follow Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of Yahuwah. Verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of Yahuwah.
So the next Sabbath day, you read about this this Gentile. Who is this Gentile? Since you are jotting on the table there, we're going to get a priest and see who is this Gentile that you were reading about. Because if we let that stand, we'll think it's one thing, but when you preach up your Bible, you're going to find out it's another. A, B, or C, we're going to find out who this Gentile is. And by going to Matthew chapter 4, who's this Gentile that was next Sabbath day came, almost some Gentiles came and said, would you teach us this the next Sabbath day? Who is these Gentiles that we can read? We're going to Matthew chapter 4, Francis. Let's find out who these Gentiles is that came on the next Sabbath day that we can read. We're going to Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Now, we're going to find out who these Gentiles are. Now, I can't particularly the verse number 14 and 15. Well, pick up verse 13. Make it plain. Well, go ahead. We're going to make a little meal out of it. Pick up verse 12. Pick up verse 12 down to verse number 16. Let's find out these Gentiles that came that we can read. Almost the whole city came to hear the word of Yahuwah on the Sabbath day. But we know who these Gentiles are that we can read. In Matthew chapter 4, pick up verse 12 down to verse 16. What do you say there?
Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. Verse 12. Now when Yahuwah the Son had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Verse 13. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Verse 14.
Naphtali.
Okay. Verse 14. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken to Elijah the seer, saying, verse 15, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee and of the Gentiles. You want me to keep going? Verse 16? Verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up.
So now we might well examine that, Francis. The people that were sitting in darkness, see, we have to make sure we're clear that they understand that people sitting in darkness talking about Zebulun and Naphtali.
Mm-hmm.
They the one was sitting in darkness. They say it was also that it might be fulfilled by spoken by Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So this is Isaiah already talking about these people that sit in darkness, that see a great light. So this is already cool in the ninth chapter about the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Now we're going to get a precept on that and see exactly, because the point we make it here, that was no such word as the word Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
That word is a polluted word for another name, for another word, that we will go back and find out exactly when you see the word Gentile, what it really means.
Mm-hmm.
Precept in your Bible to the ninth chapter of Isaiah, verse 1 and 2. So the ones he's talking about that was a Gentile, this word is polluted for another word that was called in the 9th chapter, verse 1 and 2. Talk about a people. That precept that is found out of Isaiah the seer wrote about this event. And the disciples pulled that 9:1 and 2. It's finally said up front 9:1 and 2, what it says.
Isaiah.
The book of Isaiah. Isaiah 9:1 and 2.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, and Galilee of the nations. Verse 2.
So, hold on right there.
Okay.
So, when we see this word Galilee of the Gentiles, it really will be Galilee of the who, according to verse 2. That should be Galilee of the who, A.B.F. Phoebe. Galilee of the nations.
Yes.
So, when you see the word Gentile, that word should be Galilee of the nations. What nations? Zebulun and Naphtali. Now,
yeah.
who is Zebulun and Naphtali? Let's pull up their birth certificate and find out who they are. Next to chapter 1. And we're going to find out who are they according to their birth certificate. Go on Exodus chapter 1 and find out who is Naphtali,
mm-hmm.
and Zebulun before I find out their birth certificate. On that person, we're going to Exodus chapter 1 and we're going to read down to them two names. Then we're going to enlighten the national audience that the word Gentile only means the nation. And in this case, the nation they're talking about is the nation of Northern Kingdom, headed by Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, who are they in Exodus chapter 1? Who are they by their birth certificate? Come on in. Exodus 1:1, read down.
Okay. Exodus chapter 1, verse 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man in his household, his family, came to Jacob, with Jacob. Verse 2. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Verse 3. Is that Issachar, Zebulun, and mm-hmm. Benjamin. Verse 4, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. Verse 5, and all the souls. Okay, stop there.
We all looking for them two names. Thank you.
Yeah.
Y'all looking for them two names. We're looking for the two names. Now, them two names were Zebulun and Naphtali.
Yes.
Who is Zebulun and Naphtali's father, according to verse 1?
Jacob. Israel.
The names of Israel.
Yes.
So we're talking about Israel, the Israelites.
Yes.
So they was called, these are the nations right here that seen the great light. They seen the great light because of one reason, Mother Seed of Israel. Now, the reason they seen the great light is written 1524, Mother. See, the reason they seen the great light, Mother, because Matthew was 1524. Tell you why they seen the great light. Hey, Mother D of Israel, why did they see the great light at 1524 in a book called Matthew?
Matthew. Verses 24. Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. Is that what you said?
Yes, that's it. 15:24.
Matthew 15:24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the family of Israel.
Mm-hmm. So mother, what sheep was lost? Remember, he went to Capernaum. He went over there to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali because they was lost. So they was doing what again, according to Isaiah, what were they doing, A, B, or C, then Numbers 9, verse 2, they're talking about Naphtali and Issachar and Zebulun, all of them were going down. This Issachar, he was what you call a day of the Mexicans. So he's called the Mexicans right now, the one called the Mexicans today. You know, the proud Mexicans. They that's Issachar today. That's the plague name they got. Mexicans. Issachar. So Issachar was tied in with him. He was tied in with him. And when this great life came, what kind of, according to the fear preface, what kind of situation they was up in, according to 9 verse 2? Isaiah 9 verse 2. Let's talk about the northern kingdom beyond Galilee. What was they had going on according to 9 verse 2? Come on.
Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen the great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them have the light shined.
So who is the them, according to verse 1 there? A, B, or C, or mother? Who is the them that have seen the great light? And when you get on the right side of the book, they will be called Gentiles. So who is them, mother, that you can read 9, verse 1? Yes.
Yeah. Naphtali,
yeah.
And Zebulun.
Yeah.
So see what we were learning on real learning or something? So the ones that were sitting in darkness, they seen the great light. Now we're going to find out more by precepting the Bible back to the fourth chapter. So now we clear that this great light, these people sitting in darkness, he's talking about Israel, the Israelites. It's not talking about the other nations. See, the other nations they have seen their way in it, but really, this is an A and B conversation. They supposed to see their way out of it, but you gotta get them out according to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So when you read about the Gentile in this case will be proudly and presented to those that got an ear to hear and around the clock teachers of Yahweh, voice of true Israelites. These Gentiles was who?
Zebulun and Naphtali.
Excellent. That's who the Gentiles were, and by birth they are Israel. They are Israelites. So when you read this and see this word Gentile, the other nation would jump at this and say, "This is where we came in." No, it's not talking about you. This is an A and B conversation. You're going to see your way out of it. Because mother going to precept that to 30 verse 4 and tell you who this whole Bible is concerning. All you do is precept your Bible. So those are going to be teachers to come on the Sabbath day, got to run around the clock. Y'all clock them will pad away for it. So you have to know how to teach according to the scripture. So in Jeremiah 30 verse 4, you got to make it plain exactly what's going on. What is it, mother?
Jeremiah 30, verse 4 reads, "And these are the words that Yahweh spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah.
Israel is the northern kingdom, but Zebulun, Naphtali, Issachar, it was all still had a remnant there. So his whole word was concerning them. But see, Yahweh had to take the lead first. So he had to go to them first because he was sent to get them on their feet. But he had to set the tone. So when you read about the Gentiles, now you know he told his disciples to go not to the way of the Gentiles. But Gentiles he's talking about was who again, their mother or Abel? What Gentiles were he talking about? Northern kingdoms Israelites. So the Gentiles he was talking about go not to. He was not talking about going to Esau, his five sons, translated the white man, the white woman, or the Arab man, or the what those two names is, Japanese and Chinese. He wasn't talking about them. See, that's why you have to be able to be the path to teach. And remember, this ministry up the road, because we don't drop the post 17, it will be teachers around the clock coming in, so the place got to be large enough for teachers to have a resting quarter and a desk where they can be in the pad, and when the alarm go off, they get up and tap the teacher on the shoulder and walk out and let him go give him some sleep. And then somebody else take over. So we know that Yahweh the Son, just the president over there we read earlier about Francis, that Yahweh went into the temple as it was dawning towards night and stayed there and left when the night came. That means it must have been a place large enough for him to give a shout-out if he needed it, but teachers was in place to go around the clock. But they got to have something to say. You got to have something to say. You got to have something vital to say. So understand something. You got to be able to break this thing down, and they're going to be coming in all types to the sunset. Teachers got to be in place, and they got to be ready. Now I'm going to read some historical documents back. See what it says here. Historical documents back. All my readers should be intelligent enough to know that the original Bible was not written in English. The Old Testament original was written in ancient Semitic, now called Hebrew. And the New Testament was written in Greek and Aramaic. The word Jew and Gentile was unknown when these manuscripts was written. So it was no such word as a Jew or a Gentile. That's historical document fact. These words were added along around about the 1800s, and the word Jew was added after you produced the J in the 1700s. So these words didn't even exist. So the teachers got to be plainly understand that the word Gentile is a polluted word for the nation. You got to identify what nation, but you got to do it fluently enough to know that you're driving the Yahweh's word and not stumbling from them all the place. Okay? So you got to be fluently enough to be able to deal with this word. Gentile and Jew never. So we not the true Jew. Not the Gentile, but none of these words was even thought about in manuscript. All these words are propaganda, polluted words that was added after the manuscript was closed. Good? So we got to understand these things, especially the one that's going to teach. You got to be prepared to teach fluidly, and we'll get a case in point by bringing a young lion in. Let's tell you who all is carrying this broadcast. And we'll find out if he's coming peacefully. The young lion, Brother Makai Israel. So when you meet the young lion, one of them up-and-coming teachers out of Camp 1, you say, Brother Makai Israel, Yahweh bid you there, see, right?
Yahweh bless you there, Seer Israel, of Seed Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah. Y'all lying, y'all lying. Y'all lying. Is becoming peaceful in y'all lying?
Well, all I can say is, in the book of Psalms, chapter 104, verse 21. Verse 21 reads, the young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
That sounds like that. The young lion I want to hear. There you go. One thing we know is a big job ahead of us, like I said again. You got to be prepared. Remember, this ministry will be going on 24 hours around the clock after we end chapter number 2. That means faith got to be big enough for a lot of sleeping quarters and testing where the teachers are getting prepared, getting a lesson together, giving them a little shout out. He wakes up and caps them out of the show. Cap, I got it now. But you got to have something to say. Now, young Lionel will give you a case in point. You got to say who all bring this broadcast and what's going on that the national order needs to hear. So young Lion, enlighten the national order exactly what they need to hear about this up-and-coming ministry and whatever you bring to the table on the top part of the family. Come on there, young Lion.
Hallelujah. West is where C. Roy. And all the six anointed camps and all those who listening in at the top part of the Sabbath day. First and foremost, we want everybody to know that we come in the four letters, YHWH, Yahuwah, the Son, to our Yahuwah, the Father. We are voices of the true Israelite tribe, Yada Judah, the lead tribe. Well, we also want to let you know we do broadcast on our live radio station 6 nights out of the week, or 6 days out of the week, at the Blog Talk Radio Station. You can catch us live on the Blog Talk Radio Station starting on Sunday, beginning at 6 o'clock, all the way to 9 o'clock. We do pick us up class on Monday at 6 o'clock as well until 9 o'clock. We do have our Pal Talk that we do broadcast on as well. Our Pal Talk will be on Tuesday, but it does on Sundays as well because we broadcast the Blog Talk Radio Station and the Pal Talk broadcast as well. And we have a separation class because we do not do the Blog Talk Radio on Tuesdays, but we do have the Pal Talk up and running. So ask you all to tune in beginning 8 o'clock on Tuesday. We also ask you all to tune in back to our Blog Talk Radio Station beginning 6 o'clock on Wednesday, all the way until 9 o'clock, and then we'll pick it back up on Thursday from 6 o'clock again until 9 o'clock. But do remember that this day is the top part of the Sabbath day, so we do have class on Friday, and our class begins at 7:30 on the top part of the Sabbath day on Friday, and it will end on the Blog Talk Radio Station and the Pal Talk Radio Station for a three-hour show, so that makes it 10:30, or sometimes, depending on how Yahuwah touched the mind of WCC, we might go a little bit over that. On the top part of the Sabbath day, the class will go on all the end, bottom part of the Sabbath day, and class will resume. The doors will be open again on Saturday at 12 o'clock for the resuming of the bottom part of the Sabbath day. Do know that 12 o'clock, Pal Talk Radio Station will begin at 12 o'clock, and we will resume class on the Blog Talk Radio Station on the bottom part of the Sabbath day at 2 o'clock. We ask you all to tune in and call the international phone line for questions and comments at 224-600-5579. Once again, we ask you all to tune in and call in to the international phone line at 224-600-5579. And for all those who want to call in to the Blog Talk Radio Station, we ask you all to dial the number at 319-527-6065. Once again, for the Blog Talk Radio Station, we ask you all to call in at 319-527-6065. And we do also want to let you know we our broadcast on other platforms that Yahuwah has set up for Voices of the True Israelites and all for all the 12 tribes of Israel across that scattered around the whole known world today. We do have the YouTube page up and running under the name of Voices of the True Israelites. Excuse me, but it's really V-O-T-T-Y. That's what Voices of the True Israelites stands for. V-O-T-T-Y stands for Voices of the True Israelites. And it's on the V-O-T-T-Y Tribe, Y-H-D-H, for the YouTube page. Type in V-O-T-T-Y Tribe, Y-H-D-H, for all those who love to tune in and listen to that music. Catch up the platforms on the YouTube. We have came and got the YouTube page set up for the whole known world. Also, we have the TikTok page. We do want to touch on the TikTok page and ask you all to catch the little snippets that we drop in on the TikTok page under the same name that's under the YouTube page. It's V-O-T-T-Y Tribe Y-H-D-H. Once again, the TikTok page name is V-O-T-T-Y Tribe Y-H-D-H. We come 6 nights out of the week, actually 7 days out of the week, to make sure that you tune in and you can catch the live broadcast on Blog Talk, the Pal Talk, and you can catch us live on a Facebook page that we got set up as well for the national audience. That's another platform that we are using as well for the 12 tribes of Israel, because we are pro-12 tribes of Israel. We are not anti-anyone. Keep that in mind. We are not anti-anybody. We are pro-12 tribes of Israel, pro-12 tribes of Israel, Seed Royal Tribe, YHDH. That's Yadon Semitic, Judah for this bastardized language called English. So we do want you to understand that we are pro-12 tribes of Israel, pro-Judah, and that is Judah for this bastardized language of English, and Yada in Shemetic, which is the original name of the tribe of Judah. We want you all to know that we are under the leadership in the ministry of the seer, according to the book Hosea chapter 12, verse number 10. It is the ministry of the seers, as he always set it up, but we are under the leadership under the seer that Yahweh has set up today. So we ask you all to tune in, listen in, and go to that Facebook page under the name of Seer Israel. You spell that Israel with a Y. Go under the name of Seer Israel, spell that Israel with a Y, and you're going to see us pop up. You're going to catch us live. You're going to catch any of the broadcasts that has been uploaded on there as well. And we ask you all to type in and ask questions inside of the comments. Write down your notes. Be big ears and little mouth, as the seer has been letting everyone know for a very long time. According to Thus Says Yahweh, we ready to get the ball game rolling and build the schools, the banquet halls, get our own broadcast and our own radio station going on. You know, it's our time, and we ask everybody to get ready to send in your tithes, put in your free will offerings, pay your trespass offerings. Let's get this ball game rolling, because we got a big job to do. It's time to build the other temple. It's time to step up to the plate and do our part and do what we got to do. It's what Thus Says Yahweh. And for the pro-12 tribes of Israel, beginning with tribe YHDH, we say, over to you, C. Israel, of C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
I was looking at you online, and like we said, that we already know that everything is in progress as we speak. So in the same token, we're saying one thing. The main thing that we try to do is put the teachers to be in place for a successful Sabbath day. And so we have to be clear on how to enlighten the people to understand exactly your position in the Bible. And once you understand your position in the Bible will open up to them, and then that's how it's going to come from there. So now we found out that Zebulun, Naphtali, you know, they heard something. But let's find out when they heard some things exactly. Let's come back to Princess and a young lion. Tell me Luke chapter 6, 13 to 23. And Matthew 5:1-12. Hey, wait on me. We'll be back with that shortly. But I want to kind of tie this in to enlighten. See, remember, when you're reading this Bible, it's not about throwing a lot of scriptures out. You You got to paint the picture and make it plain. So now when we read, we come back to read the fourth chapter, see, when we try to bring the people out of darkness, we got to know what people that's going to be in gross darkness. And so in 4:14, well, we read 14, now we'll look at verse 15 and 16 and see what great light that they see. We're going to find out something. So we know these people right here now, Zebulun, Naphtali, Issachar, all these, especially Issachar, these were called the nations today. And we can go on and on with the other names, but all these northern kingdoms. The northern kingdom today, 99% of the northern kingdom, they all Roman Catholic today. So we got a big job to reach the northern kingdom because they Guadalupe and they worshiping statues and they spend big money to go to Mexico every year to see a statue or cry blood out of it. And they spend big money to a statue crying blood. And it's Mary, their savior. Mary is a dark-skinned, woolly woman that's from the tribe of Judah. She would be what's called a Negro. Mary would be a woman that when you have the fountains on the eyes of the prize or Jim Crow laws in place, they had a color fountain and they had a white fountain. Mary would have to go to the color fountain or get her back beat. The Mary you got that you worship, that statue, would not go to that for them. Because the Mary of the Bible is a black-skinned, woolly hair woman from the tribe of Judah that married a man from the tribe of Judah. And both of them are black, woolly hair, broad noses, and they were Israel, the Israelites from the tribe of Judah. So we got a big job ahead of us. So we got to be plain to show that the northern kingdom, they is in gross darkness. They got to see the great light that's going on right now. And the great light is Yahweh's voice of the true Israelites. So now when we read now, our princess, Matthew chapter 4, verse number 15, let's see what with that understanding, let's read that again, with that understanding of 15 and 16. Matthew 4, verse number 15 and 16, bring it.
Matthew's chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Verse 15. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee, and of Gentiles, Naphtali and Zebulun.
Which is a polluted word for nation. We read in the 9th chapter, verse 2, the word Gentile is a polluted word for nation. What nation? Babylon, northern kingdom. So this is talking about the northern kingdom. So when we're teaching, this is about the northern kingdom. Babylon, Naphtali, Issachar, all of the northern kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
They was making plain about these people of northern kingdoms. And guess what? If they was in bad shape 2,000 years ago, you bet they is in gross bad situation today.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. What happened with them in 16?
Verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up.
Mm-hmm. So who are these people sitting in great darkness? The northern kingdom.
The northern kingdom of Israel.
That's who's sitting in this great darkness. And they sit in, and they sit in gross darkness today. Say 99% and a half is Roman Catholic today. That's a great darkness.
Yes.
So we're going to have to figure out how to reach them while you're reaching through the Bible. And when you do talk to them, what do you tell them in verse 17? Now, when you talk to northern kingdoms, what do you tell them, A, B, or B? What do you tell them? verse 17.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Yahuwah the Son began to teach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
So, what we tell the northern king to do what? Yeah, ABF will tell him to do what?
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Mark 1:15. Mark 1:15. Mark 1:15.
Okay. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of Yahuwah is at hand, repent you and believe the gospel, the covenant.
Mm-hmm. Why? 319 in the book of Acts. Why are we telling them to repent and believe the word of Yahuwah? Why?
You said
Acts 3:19. Why are we going to tell them to repent and come up out of that paganism, which you call that morphine drip called Christianity? Islam and Judaism. That's a morphine drip. Yeah, your body is laid just cut out. You can cut on these, take your whole arm off, they don't wake up. Cutting their arm off, cutting them around the tail, and with that morphine drip, they got that morphine drip in them, you just cut them off everywhere. They take your leg off, your arm off, you know they put your partner? A morphine drip. They just pick your hand up and drop it, and your hand drop back down. Yeah, we start cutting on them now. And that's what Christianity is. It's nothing but a morphine drip. You can do anything you want your person up on a morphine drip. Your parents think they're going past the stars, moon, and sky. Last night, let's denounce that. That's wrong. But Christianity will tell you he's going up in the wind. You'll be raptured away from you. What rapture? Only rapture you're going into is going to be grabbed and going into the fire. You're going to be taken to the fire. That's what you're going to be taken to. You find Christianity, Islam, or Judaism, you will be taken. You will be raptured, but into the fire. That's my last night lesson, and you got it. Now, so what do you do? Let's find out. ABFP, what do you do? 3:19.
Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent you, therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yahuwah.
So all he's going to tell the northern kingdom presence is to do what, according to 3:19?
Repent and be converted.
Why? Because the time is at hand. Now, if I'm going to hear this, Francis, and Acts 2, verse 37, some going to hear it. Let's find out exactly who's going to hear it. Acts 2, 37, down to verse 40. Who's going to hear this, Francis?
Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 40. Verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their minds and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahuwah the Son, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the righteous spirit. Verse 39. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that is afar off, even as many as Yahuwah, our Yahuwah, shall call. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exalt, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation.
So you gotta save yourself from this thing. You gotta save yourself from this Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. You are lying behind Yahweh's voice of the true Israelite. So this is what the Bible saying. And we know you're gonna scoff at it. But we tell you plainly, and mothers will just tell you again, planet of Eden. Enoch knew exactly that you were going to be raptured away. She knew, even Enoch knew where the temple, where the righteous place going to be in. Hey, mother, you got me that second Enoch 55, 1 down to verse 3, mother? Let's see if we find out exactly even Enoch knew about it. Enoch was told exactly where this resting place and where this heaven is going to be at. Even Enoch knew about it. Let's talk about it, mother. 2 Enoch 55, 1 down to verse 3, come on.
Chapter 55, verse 1 to 3, verse 1. And after that, the head of days repent and say, I destroy all who dwell on the earth to no avail. To no avail. Verse 2. And he swore by his great name, from now on, I will not do this to all who dwell on the earth again. And I will satisfy and have it. And this
Hallelujah, Akwa. Say that again, Sarah.
For good faith between me and them forever. So long as heaven is above the earth, and this is in accordance with my command. Verse 3. When I have desire to take hold of them by the hand of the angels on the day of tribulation, anger and pain, because of this, I will cause my punishment and anger to abide on them, says Yahweh, Yahweh of spirits.
Is that verse 3, mother? Because I ain't hearing my hip. Okay, well, I'm not hearing my hip there, mother. Let me, you're the 55th chapter, 1 down to verse 3, right? So I didn't hear my hip, mother. Young line of, I guess if I'm plugging young line of, in the 55th chapter of the book of, second book of Enoch, I didn't get a chance to hear my hint that I wanted, y'all, huh?
I'm not.
It's the sea of struggling. Okay. And the 55th chapter. Okay, the 55th chapter there, mother. I'm struggling right now, so I didn't hear the hint that I wanted to hear, mother. So what I got to do, I got to put a...
That said chapter. I ain't see no second.
Hold on, mother. We gotta, the old saying say we gotta fake it till we can make it, mother. We just gonna go out that way.
I see
hold on, mother. Hey, mother, hold on. Let your seer come and see what he can get before he throw it down you. 216 on. Let me see my peep. I'm gonna grab a book and peep myself. Because what do it say is in 2 verse 11? What do it say is in 3 verse 11 of St. John? Wow, I'll stall for a minute. I'm gonna stall for a minute, mother. But what it says in book called, what I just say again? St. John 3, in 3 verse 11. What did 3 verse 11 say?
St. John chapter 3, verse 11. children too have prayer to you. We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. And we receive not our witness.
So we speak what we know. So I'm over here. I'm getting a chance to grab this book called The Second Book of Enoch. And I'm looking at verse 55, Mother. I'm going to read it myself now. This is what it says here in 55. It says 55 on page 203, Mother. Turn your book to 203 in the second book of Enoch, page 203. Yeah. Go to page 203, Mother, and look at 55 one more again, verse 1.
Is that my
On page 203, look at verse 1, Mother, and let's look at the real chapter. I'm going to be eyeballing it right now.
Is that
page 203, read verse 1. Hold on, mother. Hey, pick up the 55 verse 1 and see what you got. Let's see what you got, what I'm looking at. 55:1.
Okay, 2 Enoch chapter 55, verse 1. My children, behold the day of my determined period. Is that the same?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Term and time has approached.
Yep.
Verse 2.
Okay.
For the ministering spirit who shall go with me are standing before me and urge me to my departure from you. They are standing here on earth waiting what has been told them. For tomorrow I shall go up to heaven to the uttermost Jerusalem. Polluted for Yahda Israel.
Judah.
To my eternal inheritance. Verse 4. Therefore.
Hold on. You got the answer 3. Let me read it. So in verse 3, it says, for tomorrow, I should go up to heaven.
Yes.
To the utmost Judah. To my eternal inhabitation.
Yes.
In heaven.
Inhabited.
So Enoch knew exactly where the final rest would be. He knew exactly where the temple was going to be at. He knew exactly where heaven going to be at on earth. Right there in the southern kingdom, 1,500 miles four directions. So Christianity and Islam and Judaism don't have this understanding. That's why we have to bring this understanding. Enoch is from the seventh from heaven. He knew that I will be taken away from you people at this time. But where I'm going to is heaven. But what heaven I'm going to is the utmost of Judah.
Yes.
By the eternal inheritance. So the ones that understood Yahweh's word, they understand that the heaven going to be on earth. It's going to be right there after everything is cleaned out in the Middle East. All is a 1,500 miles. So when you do read the end time prophecy of 2021 and tell you about it's going to be 1,500 miles, 1,500 miles will start from Kenya, so it's called the equator, 1,500 miles as a block or direction. So whatever between Kenya, 1,500 miles north, east, south, west, you're going to have to bag up some. Everything ought to bag up because that is the center capital of the world. Kenya, not the little place they got right now. We understand and we have no lesson that the 1,500 miles that you read about in the 21st chapter of Revelation, End Time Prophecy, it's going to be from the equator. You go on your computer and find where the equator is, and you can see it's close to Kenya today. which Solomon had control of at the time. Okay. You measure off 1,500 miles four directions, and that new Judah coming down in the 21st chapter 1, 2, and 3. And it's coming down for the 12 tribes of Israel. They're going to have three gates on each side. So if any nation make it, they will be about in the balance of the 12 tribes of Israel. Because they will have three gates on both sides, 1,500 miles for the rest. We got plenty to teach on. So the teachers to be wants to go to 24 hours and the great big temple to come. You got plenty to work with. You got to show them what's going to happen if you do right according to the law, statutes, and commandments. Your kingdom on earth, this is going to be your heaven. Well, from the equator, go on your computer and look up the equator. Where the equator at? The center of the world. That's where the kingdom coming down 21, 1, 2, and 3, 8 through 10. It's going to come down. Gold up, there's going to be wall up 1,500 miles up in the air, and it's going to go 1,500 miles four directions. And he told John all about the measurements in the 21st chapter, but we're not going to read it. Okay? So we got plenty to work with, but the kingdom that you're looking for, 12 tribes of Israel, is the kingdom on earth. So when Peter says what he wanted, a bill, baby. He clear about what he said in 1 verse 6. What did Peter say in 1 verse 6 about? So if Peter said this to Yahweh the Son, he asked a question. He made it plain. But we just don't understand the precept or understanding thing. He made it plain in 1 verse 6. He looked Yahweh the Son eyeball to eyeball and said, what did he say?
1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be.
Hold on. Make that Acts 1 verse 6. Acts 1 verse 6.
Oh, okay.
So, it was no question about that when he looked at the Son eyeball to eyeball in 1 verse 6. He asked him a question. And what was the question he asked in 1 verse 6? Go back. Check it out, young lion.
Acts chapter 1 verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Yahweh, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?
You see that? What do you mean again? So you notice the kingdom restored him again. I mean, it once had it before. Well, on earth, you know they ain't been up and away. So that means they once had the kingdom of heaven. But they lost the kingdom of heaven. See, you understand something? We got to teach about that they lost it. Y'all lying? See, they lost it. Let's go to the 17th chapter and show you how they lost it. See, we got plenty to teach them. On the Sabbath day, folks go around the clock. We got plenty to teach on. We know you're holding some good stuff already, young liar, but we got to take care of this right here to understand that people have to be clear if they have lost something. And 2 Kings, chapter 17, 1 down in verse 6, Brother Micaiah, get down to 12 through 24 and 29, and 37 through 41. 2 Kings 17, 1 through 6. Get down 12 through 24, 29, 37 through 41. See, when the teaching starts, it will be plenty of what to teach for. It all depends on what spirit those that come in around the clock at the big second temple. We got to be prepared to teach them about how did they end up in this position and how to get out of it. But this will happen to their kingdom on heaven that we can read in 2 Kings 17, 1 through 6, 12 through 24, 29, 37 through 41. Talk about a young lion. Come on.
We're going to read the book of 2 Kings. We're going to 2 Kings, chapter 17, verse 1 through 6, 12 through 24, 29, 37 down to 41. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 17, verse 1 reads, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Yadadu, began Hoshea, the son of Eli, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years, the northern kingdom. Verse 2. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Verse 3. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria. And Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. Verse 4. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to Sos, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Verse 5. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria, the 10 northern tribes, and besieged it 3 years. Verse 6. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria, the 10 northern tribes, and carried Israel away into Assyria, and placed them, the 10 northern tribes of Israel, in Halah and in Habar, by the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. Verse number 12. For they served idols. Therefore the YHWH Yahweh has said unto them, you shall not do this thing. Verse 13. Yet the YHWH Yahweh testified against Israel, the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and against Yadad Judah, the southern kingdom, by all the seers, and by all the seers saying, turn you from your evil way, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I command your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants, the seers. Verse 14. Notwithstanding, they were not here, but hardened their neck like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the YHWH their Yahweh. Verse 15. And they rejected his laws, his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimony, which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the 17 nations that were round about them, concerning whom the YHWH Yahweh had charged them, that they should not do like them. Verse 16. And they left all the commandments of the YHWH Yahweh, their Yahweh, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshiped all the hosts of heaven, and served Baal. 17. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantment, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of YHWH Yahweh, to provoke him to anger. Verse 18. Therefore the YHWH Yahweh was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight, and was none left but the tribe of Judah, Yada only, the southern kingdom. Verse 19. Also, Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, kept not the commandments of the YHWH Yahweh, their Yahweh, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made. Verse 20. And the YHWH Yahweh rejected all the seed of the 12 tribes of Israel, and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. 21. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, king. And Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Yahuwah, and Jeroboam drove Israel, the 10 northern tribes, from following Yahuwah, and made them sin a great sin. Verse 22. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them. Verse 23. Until the Yahuwah removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the seers. So was Israel, the 10 northern tribes, carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. Verse 24. And the king of Assyria bought men from Babylon, and from Cuthah, and from Ava, and from Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria, the 10 northern tribe land, instead of the children of Israel, the 10 northern tribes. And they possessed Samaria, the ten northern tribes land of Israel, and dwelt in the cities thereof. Verse number 29. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 17, verse 29, it reads, howbeit, every nation made Yahuwahs of their own and put them in the houses of the high places, which the Samaritans, the 10 northern tribes, had made. Every nation in their cities wherein they dwell. Verse number 37 down to verse 41. Book of 2 Kings, chapter 17, verse 37 reads, in the statutes, in the ordinances, in the law, in the commandments which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do forevermore, and you shall not fear false Yahuwah. Verse 38. And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, neither shall you fear false Yahuwah. 39. But the YHWH, your Yahuwah, you shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Verse 40. Howbeit, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. Verse 41. So these nations, the 17 nations, feared the Yahuwah and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so did they unto this day.
Mm-hmm. So you see, we got a lot to show them. So Mother, be of Israel, we got a lot to show them. We got a lot to show them, and the mother's responsibility is to make sure they come to the classes and listen to the teachers to make sure they're on point, just not read a bunch of scriptures. So we have to know these things to be able to pop in on the classes to come. And make sure you pass the note to the teachers that's teaching, and what got to be passed to them is in the 14th chapter, Mother, the of Israel, of Ezekiel. What is there in the 14th chapter got to be passed to those teachers that's going to be understanding things? Let's see what it says in 14, verse 1 down to verse 8. Hey, Mother, let's see what's going on in 14 verse, Ezekiel 14 verse 1 down in verse 8. So we got a great responsibility to make sure the word is going properly according to the Bible, Mother. So when we look at the 14 chapter 1 down in verse 8, let's take a look at it and see what's going on. And then we can read in 14, 1 down to verse 8. What does it say, Mom? Ezekiel 14, 1 down to verse 8.
Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 1 to 8. Verse 1, then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. Verse 2, and the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 3, Son of man.
Hold that point, mother. You said, read that verse again and 14:1 again, mother.
Ezekiel 14, verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me.
Hold that point right there. On the precept that. Precept that into the 16th chapter. And see what that's in the new thing. You want a 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, Francis. And we're going to see if we get a precept on that. The elders came before the seer.
Hallelujah.
Let's see if we can get a precept in the 16th chapter. And we're going to pick up at verse number, three down to verse number 5. We're going to and see that, was that anything new? Was that anything new? We're going to 1 Samuel 16, 3, 4, and 5. What's that,
Pastor? 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 3 to 5. Verse 3, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint unto him whom I name unto you. Verse 4, and Samuel did that which Yahweh spake, and came to Bethlehem. And he and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest you peacefully? Verse 5, and he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto Yahweh. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he shall sanctify Jesse and his sons and call them to the sanctuary. I mean, the sacrifice.
Hallelujah. So,
how do the elders supposed to respond when the seer is coming? According to verse 4. Read verse 4 and respond on after you read again. How do the elders supposed to respond according to the Bible once the seer is coming? How do they supposed to respond? Verse 4.
1 Samuel 16, verse 4. And Samuel did that which Yahweh spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, cometh you peaceably?
So the reason they came and sit by those here is because they don't know exactly what the next move. So the elders got to have a spirit of the Bible when the seer comes. Mm-hmm. They got what kind of way?
They trembled and asked if he was coming peaceably.
Hallelujah.
Let's give me a precept on these elders in 1 Timothy 5:1. Give me a precept on these elders. 5:1.
1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the young men as brethren. Verse 2. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity.
So when the elder mother sees the seer and the elder men see the seer, what they going to do to these things? According to Bible, what are they going to do?
Tremble and ask if he's coming peaceably.
Exactly.
Yeah,
now, with the understanding, But that understanding, now we're seeing what's going on in the 14th chapter. So now we're seeing what's going on in 14 verse 1. Tell Mother to be up there. So now we're clear. Now we're seeing a picture on how the order of, if you want Yahweh to intervene, we have to make sure we follow the order of the Bible. Then Yahweh, you're going to step in, because once you do an order, you got no choice but to step in. 14 verse 1. Now we're seeing what's going on in 14 verse 1. Come on there, Mother. Down to verse 8.
Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. Verse 2. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 3, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their mind and put the stumbling block of their sins before their face. Shall I be inquired of at all by them?
Verse 4. Stop it there, Mother. So what men are you talking about that got this idol in their head, according to what we read? Who would these men have got these idols in their head? So who are we talking about?
Certain elders.
Israel, bro.
These elders got an idol in their head. So you see, these elders got an idol in their head. They got a, instead of coming and sitting and seeing the next move, they make the move on their own. So now, when they came to the temple site, so what the spirit came down to Ezekiel the seer and said, you see these men, these elders, they come before, they got, already got their mind already made up. They got what we're reading.
Yeah.
And he said, when they require of, I'm not going to hear them. Is that what we're reading in verse number 3? Read verse 3 again. Read verse 3 again, Mother, some audio now.
Read verse three again with some audio. Verse three. Yes. Verse three. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their mind and put the stumbling block of their sins before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Verse 4. Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, thus says Yahweh, every man of the family of Israel that set up his idol in his mind and put the stumbling block of his sins before his face and cometh to the seer, I, Yahweh, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idol. Verse 5. That I may take the family of Israel in their own mind, because they are all estranged from me, though through their idols. Verse 6. Therefore say unto the family of Israel, thus says Yahweh, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your face from all your abominations. Verse 7.
Verse 7.
Every one of the family of Israel or of the stranger that sojourned in Israel will separate himself from me and set up his idol in his mind, and put the stumbling block of his sins before his face and come to a seer to inquire of him concerning me, I, Yahweh, will answer him by myself. Verse 8. And I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. Verse 9.
So, that's it. So what man are you talking about, Mother, according to verse 1? Read verse 1, then comment the national on what men are you talking about, according to. Read 14, verse 1, and then comment after you read verse 1. What men are you talking about? Read verse 1 and comment on it.
Ezekiel 14, verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me.
So who is Yahweh? Remember, the children of Israel cannot get right until the elders is right to show the children of Israel exactly what the seer has brought down to them to give them. You have to be in order. So there go your order. They understand it will come before the seer. Seer got to have the proper information to tell them. Then they got to get the people in order. That is their responsibility. Get the people in order according to Scripture. Now, Abel, let's go to the 20th chapter, Abel. We're going to the 20th chapter, the same book. Look at verse 4 and 5. Go on verse 4 and 5. Yeah, 4 and 5. They're going to skip down to 10 through 12. And 18 through 20. Let's see what we got there, Abel. We're going to 20th chapter. He's still working with Ezekiel. Mm-hmm. What did he say in verse 4 and 5 to Ezekiel the seer? 20 verse 4, 5, and 10 through 12. What did he say?
Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 4 and 5, and verse 10 and 12.
10, 11, and 12. 10, 11, and 12.
Okay. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 4 and 5, 10 through 12. Verse 4. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers? Verse 5. And say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, Yahweh, in the day when I choose Israel, and lift up mine hand unto the seed of the family of Jacob, Israel, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt. When I lift up mine hand unto them, saying, I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 10.
Hold on. Verse 5. And say unto them, thus says Yahweh, the day when I chose Israel. So these people, so it was a reminder to let the seer get to them elders, and the elders' responsibility is to remind the children of Israel what he did. Their job is to make sure they got them prepared, and their job is to get to them teachers to be, to get them prepared to bring back to the table exactly what he did. So everybody got a role of. Once the seers get it, you got to get to the elders. Once the elders get it, they got to get to the teachers. And they got to be on point. And they got to be always reminded of what? 10 through 12 and 18 through 20. What they got to be reminded of? Amen. 10 through 12.
Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 10 through 12 and 18 through 20. Verse 10. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. Verse 11. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. verse 12. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths, with the S, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh that sanctified them. Verse 18. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, and neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. Verse 19. I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. Verse 20. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
It's verse 23 and 24.
Okay. 23 and 24. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 23 and 24. Verse 23. I lift up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I will scatter them among the nations and disperse them through the countries. Verse 24, because they had not executed my judgments, but had dispersed my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols.
Mm-hmm. So it reads, so the elders have a great responsibility after the seer bring a tongue, get to the people to tell them, this reason why we in the trouble we in today, because what he got on the table, we not following what he got on the table.
That's right.
We're supposed to lead by example and what he got on the table, and give me what do Yahweh got on the table in 7 verse number 36. Saint John. What do you got on the table there, A.B. or B.D.? What do you got on the table that we can read in 7 verse 36 of Saint John? What do you got on the table?
John chapter 7 verse 36.
Mm-hmm.
What manner of saying is this that he said, you shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come.
Mm-hmm. So he mentioned some profound statements that we're going to go a little further. Take that up to Luke 21:37. Take it to Luke 21:37. Now look at WC. But said WCC, here you enlighten him so good, I tell you what we going to do. We going to mute the young lion, be through talking for the night. Well, where's your radio station? So young lion, you mute for the rest of the broadcast, according to the WCC World Council Church, be through talking for the night. You been muted out.
Luke chapter 21, verse 37. And in the day that he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abhorred in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives.
So what do the elders will be telling the teachers, and for the teachers tell the children of Israel, according to verse 37? Change to the Sabbath day. What they supposed to be saying, what do the elders supposed to be saying to the teachers, and the teachers supposed to be saying to the children of Israel, the Israelites, one color day, African American, Negro. What, according to verse 37, what supposed to be said about the Sabbath day? Hey, dear.
He's saying,
according to verse 37.
Verse 37. In the daytime, mm-hmm. he was teaching in the temple. And at night he went out. He went out and abhorred in the mount that was called the Mount of Olives.
So what do the elders probably tell the teacher that teaching pertaining to the Saturday? According to verse 37. You gonna take that, mother? Hey, mother, what will we say, mother? What do the elders probably saying pertaining to the Saturday according to verse 37, mother of Israel? What will we say? According to verse 37, what will we say? What is the protocol of Saturday according to verse 37? Luke 21:37. What is the protocol of Saturday according to, remember, you read in 1 Peter 2, verse 21:22. Follow my step. What's supposed to be said about the elders to the teachers is you got to keep that Saturday in the temple from Friday night to Saturday night. That is supposed to be said to get in their head that Saturday starts when the sun set on Friday to the sun set on Saturday. So that will have to be said to get them prepared for what to come. And it's going to happen, but the teacher got to be in place to know what to say at the time of point. So when it happens, you have to be clear that the Saturday starts soon as the sun set on Friday. And it goes all the way around to sunset again. The teachers must be teachers around the clock. The elders got to be prepared, the teachers, to teach around the clock. It always starts small and works big. But when the sun sets, that's when the teachers start. And the teachers are not supposed to stop until the sun sets again. So that's what got to be reminded, the elders, to teach the teachers. So that means more teachers got to be on the way to come. Day in the making, too. But we got to be prepared for our speech to tell them that once the doors open up and temple number two, that you will go 24 hours. So the praise has to be set up where the point that it will be. But teachers have room to be resting up and studying to come in and teach them out. So that's the responsibility of the elder, get to the teachers, because it will be a 24-hour cycle to come. Because we read 4 verse 17, read again that, A.B.F. Peter, Romans 4:17. So we got to know what to be teaching. So we got to our intervention. Romans 4:17, what it say?
Romans 4, okay. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even Yahweh, who quickened the dead and called those things that be not as though they were.
Mm-hmm. So now we understand these good stuff. Now we understand all this good stuff. So you have to still have to put it out there. Then Yahweh is going to stand on that word once you got it out there. And out there is to the elders. And the elders will take it straight to them teachers and get them prepared for what's to come. So, in First Chronicles, A.B.F. Beebe, take a look at a statement in 1 Chronicles. Now remember, the northern kingdom, Zebulun, Naphtali, Issachar, they have finally received the word of Yahweh. Now, what are they supposed to do behind what they received? Northern kingdom. The northern kingdom right now is 99% Roman Catholic. What they supposed to do according to the Bible once they get the word of Yahweh? They understand they got to come out that morphine drug Christianity and the head of it, the Roman Catholic Church. What are they supposed to do? 1 Chronicles 12, verse 4. What did
you say? You said 12, what verse?
40. 12, verse 40.
Okay. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 40. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, bought bread on asses and on camels and on mules and on oxen and meat, meal, cakes of figs, and the bunches of raisins, and wine, and oil, and oxen, and sheep abundantly, for there was joy in Israel.
Well, so Naphtali, Zebulun, and Issachar, they are who? They Israel. They Israelites. They're not Mexican, Puerto Rican, and Spanish, and Latino. No. It was joy well in Israel. So they got to understand something. That Roman Catholic Church understanding and teaching, that is from somebody else. That's not who you are. You are Israelite. Mexican, Puerto Rican, and Hispanic, and Latino. You're right here. But after you unlock this understanding, see, once you learn this understanding, this is how you're supposed to conduct yourself, according to 12 verse 40. What you supposed to do again, person? What do the northern kin supposed to do once they bow to get enlightened and come out their darkness? What they supposed to do according to the body? And 1 Chronicles 12 verse 40. What they supposed to do there, person?
There was joy in Israel.
Read verse 40 from the top, daughter.
Okay.
What they supposed to do in verse 40?
1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 40. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, bought bread on asses, and on camels, and on mules, and on oxen, and meat, meal, cakes of figs, and bundles of raisins, and wine, and oil, and oxen, and sheep abundantly. There was joy in Israel.
Oh! So you see, once they understand this thing, then they got to do what they got to do. But they have to have a picture. They have to have a picture first. And what's the picture they have to see? And 1 Chronicles 29, verse 6, down to verse 9. 11 through 14 and 21, for instance. Let's see what picture they got to have. They got, for them to do what they did, they had to be able to see something to automatically understood what they're supposed to do. After they received this word, their mother had me, Romans 15, 24 to 28, waiting on me, mother. So they had to know something. They had to be able to see something. Let's see what they had on seen there, princess. On the 1 Chronicles 29. 6 down to verse 9, 11 through 14 and 21. Let's see what they have been seeing about why they brought all this oxen, cakes, big sheep, abundance to store in Israel. What did they see to make them respond the way they respond in 1 Chronicles 29, 6 to 9, 11 through 14 and 21? What they see, Francis?
1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 6 through 9, 11 through 14, and verse 21. Verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and prince of the tribe of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly. Verse 7, and gave for the service of the family of Yahweh of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drons, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. Verse 8, and they with whom precious stones were found, gave them to the treasure of the family of Yahweh. By the hand of Juhel and Gershonite. Verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with perfect mind they offered willingly to Yahweh. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Verse 11. Thence, O Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory or honor and the victory and the majesty. For all this, for all that is the heaven and in the earth is yours. And yours is the kingdom, O Yahweh, and you are exalted as head above all. Verse 12. Both riches and honors come with of you, and you reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give great unto all. Verse 13. Now therefore, O our Yahweh, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Verse 14. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come unto you, and of your own have we given you. Verse 21. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto Yahweh and offered burnt offerings unto Yahweh. On the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, for their drink offering and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel.
Mm-hmm. So, the reason Naphtali and Zebulun, all the northern kingdom, got together, what do they see again in verse number 6? What do they see again? What do they see? What did they see plainly in verse 6 there? Again, Francis, what did the northern kingdom see was going on? Make them go headlong on what they were doing. What they see in verse 6 and 14?
You want me to read the your answer?
Read verse 6, 9, and 14 and tell me what they see after you read verse 6, 9, and 14. Read verse 6, 9, and 14 and put your mind in what Zebulun, Naphtali, and Issachar to make them do what they did, because they were looking at 6, 9, and 14. Let's see what it says then. It's found on 6, 9, and 14.
First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 6, 9, and 14. Verse 6, then the chief of the fathers of and prince of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and the hundreds of hundreds and of the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. Verse 9. Then the people rejoiced that they offered willingly, because with perfect mind they offered willingly to Yahweh. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Verse 14. You said 14, right? Oh, okay, 14.
Mm-hmm. 14.
But who am I, and what is this people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come mm-hmm. to you, and of your own have we given you.
9 and 14, ABFD. Okay. What was going on? We're looking at Naphtali. We're looking at the Northern Kingdom. What was the Northern Kingdom informed on? What did they see going on to make them do all that they were doing? According to verse 6, 9, and 14.
They saw the tribes of Israel, the chief fathers. In verse 9, they rejoiced because of what they saw, the offering willingly because of their perfect mind. They worked together on one accord. And also David the king also rejoiced greatly. In verse 14, he said, who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things mm-hmm. come to you. Of your own have we given you.
Mm-hmm. So what the Northern Kingdom seen by coming back to the Southern Kingdom, seeing the order of the leadership.
Yeah.
The leadership led by example.
Yeah.
They brought in what has to be brought in.
Yeah.
So they just stand it in on offering. So
willing.
They knew when they willingly, when they came from the Northern Kingdom, they knew the standard was already set. Just don't do what you want to do. You do it according to what you see leadership did. So
that's
the leadership up forward and offered willingly what the people gonna do. They gonna offer willingly.
Yeah.
See the leadership offering willingly. Then they gonna step up and take it to the next level. So that's
right.
How it happens. And that's how the land, school, and banquet hall and the radio station will unfold itself.
Right.
And leadership follow the Bible.
That's
what the people gonna do. They got no choice but to follow the Bible. So Paul, pull that verse, Mother. Hey, Mother. Paul pulled that verse, and so Paul had got to work with, and what he says in 15:24 down to verse 28 in the book of Romans. Now, Paul went business, same Northern Kingdom, Zebulun, Naphtali, and all them, they was over in Europe. They was all scattered. So now Paul went over there to talk to them. Let's see what Paul said to them in 15, verse 24, down to verse number 28. What do you say, Mother?
Romans 15, verse 24 to 28. Verse 24. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way hitherward. By you. If first I be somewhat filled with your company. 25. But now I go into Judah to minister unto the saints. 26. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Judah. 27. It has pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have a Naphtali and Zebulun, the 10 northern tribes, have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Verse 28. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain.
Mm-hmm. Now go to 1 Corinthians let's see him working with the Gentiles, the nation of Israelites that's in Europe. Let's see what he told them in the 16th chapter, 1, 2, 3 of 1 Corinthians, Mama. What he tells the Gentiles, which is the nations of that was scattered in Europe. Now he eyeball to eyeball with them now. He's working with them, Mama. And what did he say to them in 16, 1, 2, and 3 of 1 Corinthians?
1, 2, and 3.
What he said? What he said to them? Now you got. He let know you got to do this. Now I'm over here to get you on your feet. Now you got to do this. Now I'm gonna give you the spirit to understand the word of Yahweh, and they got very happy to make those donations and contributions. Let's see what happened when he told them 16 chapter 1, 2, and 3. Our first question. What do you tell them, Mother?
First Corinthians chapter 1, I mean chapter